Good morning. Plaintiffs would like to call Kian Tanner. And, Your Honor, we'll be referring to three exhibits during Kian's testimony. Exhibit P-101, P-145, and P-102. Can you please state your name?
Kian Tanner.
I'm going to have you step a little closer, or sit a little closer to the mic. Thanks. Can you spell it, please?
K-I-A-N-T-A-N-N-E-R.
How old are you, Kian?
18.
And how old were you when this lawsuit was filed?
I was 14. I turned 15 the day after the lawsuit was filed.
Where do you live, Kian?
Big Fork, Montana.
Did your parents live in Big Fork when you were born?
No, they didn't. They lived in the Yak.
Is that in Montana?
It is, yeah.
And how old were you when you moved to Big Fork?
About 6 months old.
And what family do you live with?
My mom, my dad, my two beautiful golden retrievers, and my cat.
And do you recognize this photo here on the screen?
I do, yeah.
What is that?
That's a photo of my property, probably in the fall because the leaves are turning. You've got the mountains in the background. It's just a picturesque version of our property.
And will you kind of paint a picture of your property for us, Kian?
Absolutely. So our property, we have 27 acres, and a lot of it is forested. So there's a lot of trees on our property, which is sort of, I think, why I love it so much, is the trees are just beautiful. We also have a decent amount of open land, as you can see in the photo. There's a little bit of a meadow. We have a little bit of a swamp. And we also have a creek running through our property.
And what is the name of that creek?
Wolf Creek.
And those mountains in the background again? What are they called?
The Swan Range.
You know, put another image on the monitor. Who's this little guy?
That's me when I was really little.
And is this on your property as well?
Yeah, it is. That's actually a pretty similar spot to the other one, the previous photo.
Seems like a pretty beautiful place to grow up.
It is, yeah.
You feel pretty lucky.
The luckiest.
How would you feel if that was taken away from you, Kian?
Honestly, I don't think that I can process that emotion. Devastation, horror, an unbelievable amount of pain. I don't think that it's plausible for me to really put into words how much losing my childhood home, where I grew up, where all my memories are, would mean to me.
Yeah, and I put another photo on the monitor. Is this familiar to you?
Yeah, it is.
Who is that?
That's me playing soccer.
How long have you been playing soccer?
For about 14 years.
What positions do you play?
Center mid, or I played center mid in high school. And then for my club team, I basically play everywhere.
I understand you co-led your team in goals and led your team in assists last year.
Yeah, I did for high school.
You must be pretty good then.
I guess, yeah.
Do you love soccer?
I do. It's where I feel most at home. It's my happy place.
And what grade are you in, Kian?
I just graduated high school. I'm going to be a freshman in college in the fall.
Is this you?
It is, yeah.
Who are you with there?
That's my mom.
What high school did you go to?
Flathead High School.
Do you have plans for college in the fall?
I do, yeah. I'm going to St. Mary's College in California.
Plan on playing soccer there?
That's the plan. Got to make the team first.
Do you have any ideas about what you'd like to major in?
Yeah, I'm undecided at the moment, but I've limited it to either environmental science or kinesiology.
And have you studied climate change in any of your classes?
I have, yes.
And can you give us a kind of an overview?
Absolutely. So my IB, so International Baccalaureate Environmental Systems and Societies class, I would argue climate change is ingrained in almost every aspect of that class. It sort of helped me connect all the dots and show that, or sort of explain to myself through that class that everything is interconnected.
Did that, this class kind of help you connect the dots between your own lived experiences and the science?
It did, yeah. And actually, it was very interesting listening to testimonies. I was in New York for a bit, of the trial. But listening to the testimonies of Dr. Running and all of the other experts, it was interesting to see. I know the surface level. I can see what I've learned from school, and it's really interesting. And I can see it in my own life, yeah.
Why were you in New York this past weekend?
It was my grandma's 90th birthday.
Yeah, just put another image on the screen. Do you recognize this?
Yeah.
Who's that?
That's me. Probably in the Glacier High School gym in, looks like 2018.
And can you, looks like maybe you're doing Taekwondo.
Yeah, I'm doing Taekwondo. That was actually during a tournament. I suspect I probably got second or third in that sparring event.
What is sparring?
Basically, it's like fighting, but you have pads on and stuff, and you're trying to score the most points. And so, like, body shots are worth two, punches are worth one, shots to the head are worth three. And then if you, like, do, like, a rotating kick or something, you get extra points. And so you're trying to have the most points at the end of the round.
Did you earn your black belt?
I did, yeah. In that photo, I have my junior black belt, but I did earn my black belt in Taekwondo.
Is Taekwondo only about, like, sparring?
No, it's not. Actually, I started Taekwondo when I was probably around the same time I started soccer. And there were these five tenets that we would I don't know the word for it. We would, like, repeat. It was sort of like the rules that we followed when we were there and when what we wanted to live by during throughout our lives. And there were courtesy, integrity, perseverance, self-control, and dauntless spirit. And those are sort of the values that I've come to embody and try and take up in every aspect of my life.
And how about this photo? Is this familiar to you?
It is, yeah.
What are we looking at here?
That's a photo Jeremy Roberts took, in May, like.
Where is this photo taken?
That's on the North Fork of the Flathead.
Did you catch that fish?
Well, so actually that's an interesting story because this happened a lot. I'm certain that I caught the fish, but I wasn't the one that cast the rod and I wasn't the one that hooked the fish. My dad just handed me the rod and said, "Kian, bring in the fish." And then he'd help me do that. So that's sort of like something when I was really little that happened. And that actually somewhat happened when we went fishing on the Missouri the other day. So basically what happened was I got my line all tangled. And I was like, okay, Dad, can you come fix this? Because that's my solution to everything. And but I was like, you know what? I'm going to be more independent. I'm going to try and fix this first. And so he came over and was like, Kian, take my rod. You can, because I was really going after this one fish. And I took, and I was like, no, I'm going to try and fix this. You just go after the fish and I'll try and do my line. And, first cast, he hooked it and he landed it. And I was like, I've been going after this fish for 20 minutes.
Well, it sounds like you're learning from a master, so you'll get there.
Yeah.
Can you describe kind of where the North Fork of the Flathead River is located in Montana?
Yeah, it's in the Flathead Valley. It's right next to Glacier National Park.
And do you spend a lot of time in Glacier?
I used to, yeah. I spend a little less time now because they closed the park, so it's hard to get in, but yeah.
You have a reservation system now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Is this you?
It is, yeah.
Where is this?
That is in Glacier. I want to say it's St. Mary's Lake, but I could be wrong. It might be like McDonald.
Do you remember this day?
I remember days like this. It was, I apparently like to be an eagle or an airplane. That was like one of my things, balancing on rocks and flapping my arms up and down. But actually, I think one of my favorite memories in Glacier is, something just like that, which you can see in both the photos. But I was standing on a rock, and the wind was rushing past my face. It wasn't howling, but it was just, I felt free. It let me become more than just myself. I was connected to every part of nature. I was just where I was supposed to be.
Have you noticed changes to the environment in Glacier National Park over the years?
Yes, I have.
What have you noticed?
The first thing is snow melts and glaciers. The glaciers appear to be receding. One of my memories with this was driving up to Glacier, just seeing one of the glaciers dripping water and being like, and then seeing photos from previous and being like, wow, that's absolutely insane that it's just disappearing in front of our eyes and that we can't, that we're not doing anything to stop it. And then another thing is, for me, Glacier National Park is embodied by the snow caps, and the snow caps have been disappearing earlier and earlier every single year, it feels like. And that's, it's really sad. It's very, like, it plays a huge role in the beauty of Glacier, and it's disappearing.
So, Kian, apart from kind of your time in Glacier, you know, observing and playing in the snow, and do you do any other snow sports?
I mean, if you call recreational downhill skiing and cross-country skiing sports, then yeah.
I think they are.
I just consider them fun.
Where do you typically go skiing, Kian?
I go downhill skiing at Blacktail Mountain in Lakeside, Montana, and then cross-country skiing wherever I can.
Do you recognize this photo?
I do, yeah.
What's going on here?
That's a photo of me and my mom skiing on our property in, looks like, 2011. And that's sort of like one of my connections with my mom. My dad and I, as I said, have arguing and fishing in common. My mom and I have skiing and soccer. She's always there for me.
Do you feel like your ability to go skiing has changed in recent years?
Yes, it has.
In what ways?
Opportunities to ski the snowpack, for example, feels like it is decreasing and there's less opportunities to go skiing because there's, the snow is not as available or as pristine as it has been previously.
Ian, do you believe your experience growing up in such a beautiful place has shaped your view of climate change?
I do, yes. I know that I'm not truly appreciative of the beauty of the world and the nature that is, that I'm surrounded by, but I'm extremely grateful for that, for the property that I live on, the experiences that I have in nature, and being able to connect with nature in such a special way has really shaped my view of climate change.
Ian, I put a screenshot of an article up on the screen. Do you recognize this?
I do, yeah.
And what is it?
It's an article I wrote that was published in Hatch Magazine in 2018.
And what is the title?
Are there any adults in the room?
Is this a paragraph from that article?
It is, yeah.
Will you please read it?
Climate change is by far the most dangerous threat we face. Yet for some reason, adults seem to think it's fine to leave my generation and future generations a world that is in trouble. You adults need to get your act together to fix this. It makes me very angry and, to be honest, very disappointed with your generation that you don't take responsibility for your actions. Is it really that hard to cut down on CO2 emissions and to use less energy from fossil fuels and to move towards clean energy like solar panels and windmills?
Why did you write this article, Kian?
Because I wanted to spread awareness about climate change and express my frustration with the lack of action that current generations have made towards stopping climate change.
Have you been personally impacted by climate change, Kian?
Yes.
And will you give us some examples?
I have had multiple practices, and by multiple, I mean a ton of practices, a ton of games canceled for soccer due to smoke. I've had practices cut short. Increased heat, for example, has had a huge impact on my ability to play soccer.
Can you describe how the extreme heat has impacted your ability to play soccer?
Growing up, I never really remembered having water breaks during games and stuff like that. It definitely is more common today to have water breaks during games. And I think that, of course, I was at a tournament a couple weeks ago, and I think that if the temperature exceeds 90 degrees, then you get to have water breaks, and it's pretty, yeah.
Can you describe this photo that we're looking at here?
Yeah, that's me playing soccer this year for Flathead High School on the turf at Legend Stadium in Kalispell.
Can you describe for us how it is playing on turf when it's really hot out?
It's absolutely horrible. I've had moments where I can see the heat reflecting off the turf, and it's depressing. It's like, I don't want to go play in that. I love soccer, but I really don't. And then my cleats, especially in that photo, have black soles on them. And so imagine your feet are just boiling in your cleats, burning every single step you take on the turf. It's absolutely horrible. It hurts. It's painful. And then you have the sun itself, the heat of the day, and it burns you out so much quicker, and your energy, you can't compete at the best of your ability. I love playing on turf because of the way the ball moves, but I hate playing on turf because of the conditions it creates.
Do you remember a specific game when it was just super hot?
I do. My senior year, it wasn't on turf, actually. It was on the grass at Big State High School in Missoula. Their grass isn't really cut always, and the fields aren't the best. And I remember stepping on the field and being like, I don't want to play. It felt so humid. It felt so, like, the heat was just pressing in on me and, like, pushing, like, a weight pushing down on me. I just had no motivation to do what I love.
Ian, has wildfire smoke impacted your fly fishing?
It has, yes.
In what ways?
We've had smoke cancel trips, postpone trips, days when we just go out and fish the river where we can't do because the smoke's too bad.
Do you recognize this photo?
I do, yeah.
What is this?
It's a dystopian photo that my dad took of our property, the sunset, with the smoke.
Did you hear Dr. Jack Stanford's testimony yesterday, Kian?
Yes.
And what did you take away from his testimony in terms of your ability to fish in Montana in the future?
I took away that the opportunities that I have and have had in previous years are decreasing and will continue to decrease, and that my ability to fish and do what I love, be connected to nature, is disappearing in front of my eyes.
Ian, do you believe your property has also been impacted by climate change?
Yes.
And on the screen here, there's a photo that's been marked as Plaintiff's Exhibit P101. Do you recognize that photo?
Yes, I do.
And what are we looking at here?
Those are dead and dying trees on my property due to beetle infestations, and the trees have become more susceptible to beetle infestations due to the increased temperatures.
Do you have a lot of dead and dying trees on your property?
We do, yeah. I would say if you did a 360 from my house, you can see a full range of from life to death. You see pristine green trees, and right next to them you see dead and dying trees, and it's really depressing and really, it hurts to look at.
Have you ever worried about trees falling and causing damage to your house?
I have, yes. Actually, we had a tree fall in our house. One of the staples of my house is sort of, we had these trees surround, like right next to it. And with the increased, we've seen a lot of windstorms that I don't remember when I was little. I don't remember them being so significant. And we had a tree fall in our house and cause significant damage.
Do you have a memory of those trees around your house?
I do, yeah. Actually, one of my favorite memories from my childhood was when I got put in timeout. And so I hate being put in timeout. Absolutely the worst thing in the world. But there was this one time where one of the trees that we ended up having to cut down due to wind complications, we were worried that it might fall in the house. My dad said, "Kiego, you're in timeout and you have me next to this tree." And there were these pine cones and pine needles and little sticks. And so I made like a little version of our house. And it's just one of my favorite moments in my childhood.
Can I display the two photos on the screen? Do you recognize these?
I do, yeah.
And the one on the left is Plaintiff's Exhibit P102. Could you describe that one for us?
Absolutely. That's a photo of my property with our garden front and center in pristine weather. It's beautiful out. The mountains look incredible, lush and green. It's just beautiful.
And how about the photo on the left, which is Exhibit P145?
Yeah, that's this basically the exact same photo. It's shifted a little bit to the left, but it's a photo of our property when the smoke has come into the valley and you can't see the mountains. It makes me feel depressed and sad, angry, claustrophobic. It's horrifying.
Can you describe what it's like to be kind of on your property or in your home during smoky conditions?
Yeah, it's like this weight pressing down on you, making you feel like there's no hope in the world, that you can't go outside. We have screen doors, and in the summer we leave our doors open, have the screen door shut. And when it's smoky out, which feels like every August, every September, sometimes in July, we have to shut down the house basically and like close everything up. And it is horrible. It feels very limiting in my ability to do what I love.
Ian, why did you decide to become a plaintiff in this lawsuit and sue the state of Montana?
Because I wanted to make a difference in the world, and I thought this would be an excellent way to create change for the better.
Knowing what you know about climate change and experiencing what you have, Kian, how does it make you feel to know the state of Montana is ignoring climate change in its environmental reviews for fossil fuel projects?
It is so, it's a feeling, it's a pain that starts in my back, by my shoulder blades, and it creeps down into the small of my back, and it tightens in my core, and it makes me feel sick, and it makes me feel horrified that we aren't doing what we can to stop climate change from being even more significant.
And as a young person, Kian, do you believe you're disproportionately impacted by climate change?
Absolutely.
How would you feel if you prevailed in this lawsuit?
Relief, joy, that what we're doing matters, and that when we speak out, when we create action, we can create positive change in the world.
Thanks, Kian. I have no further questions. And Your Honor, at this time, we'd like to move into evidence, plaintiff's exhibits P101, P145, and P102.
No objection.
P101, 102, and 145 are admitted. Do you have questions?
No questions.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Tanner.